Okay, welcome to Water and Planning. I know everybody's been excited to have this meeting. You've been waiting on pins and needles, so we'll get after it here. Suzanne, will you please call the roll?
Chair Miller?
Here.
Vice Chair Freehoff?
Present.
Vice Chair Scalzitti?
Here.
Directors Castaneda? Coates Hedberg?
Here.
Supervisor Desmond, Directors Douglas,
here.
Lines,
here.
Macedo,
here.
Myers,
here.
Molina,
here.
Paul,
yes, present.
Roback, and Wall,
here.
Chair Miller, we have a quorum of the committee.
Thanks, Suzanne. Okay, we all know the protocol on pushing your button if you ask questions. Are there any additions to the agenda?
We have none.
Do we have any speakers?
Calling on public comment for matters on the Water Planning and Environmental Committee agenda or within the jurisdiction of the committee. You have 3 minutes to make your comments. First speaker, Ms. Brown, you may begin now.
I got it. Okay. Hi. Good afternoon again. Courtney Brown. I'm a staff attorney with San Diego Coastkeeper. And I want to comment on the draft urban water management plan that will be discussed today. I want to say that we're really pleased to see significant course correction in demand forecasting. These projections finally reflect decades of genuine conservation progress and the decoupling of population growth from demand, and are meaningfully more realistic than the forecast that drove our current rates crisis. That said, we hope that today the presentation will maybe clear up some concerns or confusion that we have from the first review. And that relates to the plan's assertion that San Diego has guaranteed sufficient supplies through 2050 under all conditions. First, the plan asserts that San Diego has sufficient supplies through 2050 under all conditions, but key variables don't appear to be quantitatively factored into that claim. For instance, the IID transfer agreement that expires in 2047, it assumes that status quo renewal is guaranteed, or at least it appears to. Also, implementation of post-2026 federal Colorado River guidelines, while uncertain, are moving forward. The plan seems to acknowledge these as future planning uncertainties, yet the reliability tables assume surplus supplies across all scenarios regardless. Also, the plan's climate change scenarios don't appear to account for Colorado River's most plausible worst case outcomes that are happening now. Again, not potential uncertainties. The Bureau of Reclamation's own projections, as you all likely know, show Lake Mead at 37% capacity and falling just 20 feet above the threshold that triggers mandatory California water contributions. Lake Powell could drop below minimum power pool as soon as December 2026 this year. So it's unclear to us why none of this appears to be reflected in the scenario modeling. Because a legal right to divert water doesn't conjure water that isn't physically there. Coastkeeper will remain engaged throughout the public review period, and we look forward to hearing staff's presentation that hopefully clears some of these concerns up. Thank you.
Thank you. So in interest of time, I won't go into my lengthy report. Are there any director comments? Vice chair's comments? Okay. We don't have any consent calendar items. We'll go into the action discussion presentation. I'll ask Jeremy Crutchfield from Water Resources Manager. We'll provide some introductory remarks and then present Efren Lopez and Ryan Jensen, the Senior Water Resources Specialist, and they will give an update on the preparation of the Urban Water Management Plan and Water Shortage Contingency Plan. Efren or Jeremy?
Yeah, thanks, Jeremy Miller. We're just going to jump right in, so Efren will get started. Thanks.
Thanks, Jeremy, and good afternoon, Chair Miller, members of the committee and board. I'm Efren Lopez, and today we're going to provide you an update on the preparation of the 2025 Urban Water Management Plan and the Water Shortage Contingency Plan. This effort reflects a significant and coordinated regional planning effort incorporating input from our member agencies, I also want to highlight that the plan was developed in-house by Water Authority's house, by Water Authority staff, the way it's been done traditionally. And that really allowed us to be more responsive and collaborative and closely aligned with our member agencies throughout the process. And so this afternoon, I'm going to walk you through where we are in the process, key updates since the technical review draft, and what to expect as we move towards the public review and towards board adoption. So today's presentation will be organized in four parts. I'll begin with a brief update on the 2025 Urban Water Management Plan, and then I'll turn it over to Jeremy, who will walk through several of the demand and supply scenarios that inform the plan. Then next, Ryan will summarize an update on the water shortage contingency plan, and then I'll return to summarize the public review draft, and finally, I'll close with the remaining schedule and next steps as we move toward board adoption in the spring. The Urban Water Management Plan is required by state law every 5 years for all urban water suppliers in California. For the Water Authority, this is our primary long-range planning document. It guides us on how we evaluate and manage regional water supply reliability. It also evaluates our supply portfolio and reliability under three conditions: a normal year, single dry year, and multiple dry years. The plan is organized into 11 chapters and supporting technical appendices. These chapters are structured to move from foundational information to detailed reliability analysis. So the early chapters still focus on regional water demands, demand management, and the Water Authority supply portfolio. And the middle sections focus on our member agency supplies, imported water reliability, and regional coordination and water quality considerations. Then the final chapters, they bring it all together, and it'll focus on long-term reliability analysis, scenario planning, and drought response planning. So together, they really provide a comprehensive evaluation of the region's water supply for the next 25 years. Development of the 2025 UWMP has been underway for about 2 years and really reflects a highly coordinated regional effort. The process began in February of 2024 when the board approved the contract with Hazen and Sawyer to support the demand forecasting. And from there, we initiated a pretty extensive coordination with 22 of our member agencies and regional partners. And throughout 2025, we've been providing regular status updates to the board as we work on the plans. And earlier this year, we did complete a technical review draft. That's technically the first draft, and that was distributed to all the member agencies and staff. And they provided a detailed review and input. And based on that input, we did release the current public draft on March 12th. And that represents a big milestone in our process. The technical review draft, as I said, it was distributed to all member agencies in January. We did receive comments from 13 member agencies. That reflects, you know, the strong regional participation in the planning process. And overall, we did receive comments back in five major areas, ranging from local water supply projections to conservation savings estimates and maps and tables. And the feedback, it really helped refine the forecast and strengthen the technical analysis included in the public review draft. And with that, I'm going to turn it over to Jeremy. He's going to walk you through some of those scenarios in more detail.
Good afternoon, Chair Miller, members of the board and committee. As Efren mentioned, a lot of the discussions we had with member agency staff revolved around the long-range demand forecast. During some follow-up one-on-one meetings that we had with a handful of agencies, we were able to identify areas within our regional model that we could make refinements to better align our forecast with their agency forecast. The result of that was making some changes that increased some of our forecast for member agencies and decreased our forecast for others. You can see this in the table on the screen right now, that ultimately we ended up increasing our forecast between 2% and 3% between the 20-year planning period, based on the feedback we got from member agency meetings. The second table represents our parallel process. And what we're doing here is comparing our revised regional demand forecast with the aggregate of our forecast from member agencies. And I'm really happy to report here, as you can see from the screen, we're really in alignment with our member agencies. Now, that doesn't mean all of our member agencies are spot on with our forecast for them, but in aggregate, we're really close, ranging between 0.4% and 1.2%. And in all situations, our periods, the Water Authority forecast is below the aggregate of the member agencies. So I want to spend a little bit of time in consideration of the agreements that were the agreement that was approved earlier this morning and potential future exchange agreements that me and his team is working on. We wanted to spend a little time to talk about our resource mix. And what's up on the screen right now is our current situation. And I'll kind of build through it right now. So starting at the bottom, we in gray, we have the member agency's local supply. On top of that, we have the contracted supplies from the Water Resources Water Authority, QSA and DSAL. The red dashed line represents that regional demand number that we just talked about on the previous slide. And then on the right, you can see the yellow box, which represents the potential for metropolitan or supply coming out of our storage reserves. Now that happens to align with the 2047 expiration date of the IID transfer component of the QSA. So if we end up extending that, which we do have the opportunity to do, then that yellow box goes away. But we did want to highlight that here today. Now, if you recall back in November, we introduced this new idea of regional supply flexibility. And I'm going to toggle back and forth on these next couple slides so you can kind of see the relationship. Notice we're not increasing the supply at all. It's just adding a different layer to that supply mix. And that's shown in the light green on top here. And what that represents is our ability to decrease our contracted supplies or the potential for local supplies to come in lower than what we're expecting. It's consists of three different components. The first and the largest is 50,000 acre feet of potential exchanges that are allowed through our settlement agreement with Metropolitan. The other areas are the potential for us to turn down the desal plant. And then also we've made an assumption here that local supply development projects in the future may not come online exactly at the time that they're identifying or at the capacity that they're identifying. So we've made an assumption here of the potential lowering of member agency supplies of 20% on new projects after 2030. So I do want to make a point here that that doesn't mean that we're changing what the member agencies are telling us. In the urban water management plan, you'll see that all the verifiable supplies that the member agency told us are recognized to their full capacity in the document. Right here, this is just a planning tool for us to use as we evaluate these exchange and transfer opportunities into the future. Now, on this last one, and I'll go back and forth a couple times here, this now represents actually executing some of these exchange agreements. Obviously, we did one this morning and Mina's team is working on others, but hypothetically, let's put that total at 25,000 acre feet. And the very first thing you notice is that the very top goes down quite a bit. The other part that I notice is on the left-hand side in the next few years, you'll see a little bit of yellow pop up, and that really gives us an opportunity to utilize some of our storage reserves that we have in the region, which is a benefit to the Water Authority and everything we're trying to do. But the big takeaway from these exchange agreements is if you look between 2025 and 2035, we now have alignment between our regional demand forecast in red and our total supplies coming into the region. That is a really good thing, and it gives us a lot of opportunities to look and see how we can leverage these resources, not only now, but also into the future. So this tool that we have here is really beneficial. Again, it's something that we're going to use internally to help us evaluate future exchange opportunities. And we'll be using this tool well past the adoption of the Urban Water Management Plan. Chair Miller, I don't know if we want to pause for questions now or finish the presentation.
Questions?
Sorry, we're being a little disruptive there, but I guess Director Norman and I were just not clear on what the red line is.
So the red line is our long-range demand forecast. So it is the 461,000 to the 470,000. That is our regional demand forecast for our urban water management plan. So it's the demand expectation for the region.
And the upper light green is the water that we have in excess of the. That's a question. The water, the light green or the dark green here, everything above the the line is the water that we have in abundance that we can market.
Correct. So everything above the red line here is anticipated surplus. And then the concept of the regional supply flexibility is that uncertainty of our supply and where we might land with the idea of exchanges and other opportunities.
Any other questions?
Okay, with that, I'll bring Ryan Jensen up to talk about the water shortage contingency plan. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. My name's Ryan Jensen. I'm a senior water resources specialist, and I led the effort to update the Water Authority's 2025 water shortage contingency plan. So what is the water shortage contingency plan? The WSCP is a comprehensive drought planning document that serves as the region's guide for water shortage and drought management. The WSCP incorporates lessons learned from previous drought periods and ensures that the water authorities and its member agencies continue to proactively plan for future supply shortages. The WSCP is reevaluated and updated every 5 years in coordination with the Urban Water Management Plan updates. However, the WSCP is a standalone document and it can be updated at any time if the need arises. So the Water Authority's Board of Directors first approved a drought planning document in 2006. And since then, the plan has been activated 3 times. Supply allocations were implemented during the first 2 activations in 2007 and 2012. And supply allocations were not necessary during the most recent activation of the plan from 2021 to 2023. So in February 2025, I gave an update to the board regarding the WSCP and our plan changes for the 2025 update. Since then, those changes have been incorporated and refined. And as part of the process to update the WSCP, member agencies were given the opportunity to review and comment on the draft plan. And comments from member agencies were incorporated as needed and included in the public review draft published last week. So for the 2025 update, notable changes include the addition of historical drought information and lessons learned from the 2021 to 2023 drought, which are in section 3, and then also revisions to the drought response matrix in section 5, which is shown here on the slide. The purpose of the drought response matrix is to outline the drought response actions that are available to the board at each of the 6 regional water shortage levels, and key revisions to the drought response matrix included the removal of voluntary and mandatory designations for each water shortage level, the separation of carryover storage and emergency storage at levels 1 and 3, respectively, and the use of additional and extraordinary demand reduction measures to distinguish between demand reduction actions during moderate and severe drought conditions. These changes allow for additional flexibility in the selection of drought response levels and to allow for drought response actions that can be tailored to local conditions rather than statewide mandates. This flexibility is important to the Water Authority, given that the state required all water suppliers to activate their WSCPs in 2021, even if there was no water supply shortage in the region, which was the case for the Water Authority and for San Diego County. And with that, I'll turn it back over to Efren to finish off the presentation.
Thank you, Ryan and Jeremy. So again, we are currently in the public review period. It began last week. During this time, both plans will be available for the public to review and provide comments. We are accepting written comments. They can call me and we can take those comments into review. That will remain open until after the public hearing. So the board next month will hold a public hearing where members of the public will have the opportunity to provide testimony directly to the board. Following that comment period, staff will review and incorporate any comments as appropriate and prepare the plan for final board adoption in May. We do encourage the board, member agencies, and the public to continue providing feedback and input as we finalize the plan, because you know the plan, beyond its regulatory role, it does serve as an important resource used by many members of the community, including researchers, planners, community stakeholders, and partner agencies. They rely on it to understand our region's water supply outlook and planning assumptions until the next plan is published. And with that, we're happy to take any questions from the committee.
Thanks, Efren. I have a hand up from Director Kirschbaum.
Hi, thank you. I had a question, sorry, going back to the graph. So the way that the graphic with the green. If you could go up one more. So it appears that we're going to be dipping below the demand with the MWD settlement opportunities until 2035. Is that right?
The light green doesn't represent an expectation of not having that supply available. That's an opportunity. So the expectation is we'll be somewhere between the dark green and the top of the light green. Now, if our supplies do go down, so in the near term with our revised demand forecast, we are, as Pierce mentioned earlier in ANF, we do have alignment with our contracted supplies and our projected sales. And so if we do enter into these exchanges, we either need to replace that water with Metropolitan, or in this case, we're going to leverage our storage reserves. So that's where you kind of see that yellow come into play on this one, is we're now accessing a new supply, our storage reserves, to replace that water that we need to make sure we meet our demand forecast.
I just want to jump in as well. So I do really think that this slide 60 is the takeaway from all this. So at least the way I look at it is we're essentially at contract supply levels with 25,000 acre feet worth of exchanges. That's demonstrated by the dotted red line and the light green being almost equal through 2035. If we can move the rest of the 50,000 acre feet worth of water that we have in the Met settlement agreement, you take the 54,000, the 55, and the 55 on the top line and reduce it by 25,000 acre feet, and your band shrinks even further. A further mitigating factor for those outlying years would be interstate water transfers. And what we have planned, what we're attempting to do through the legal structure, the legal framework on the river, to then reduce that even further. So the goal is to get to as close as the red line, if you will, as you can. If you ever dip below it, to a point I think that was asked earlier, what do you do? Well, we always have the ability to go back and buy a Metropolitan water.
Anybody else have a question? Okay. Yeah. Thank you, Jeremy. Thanks, your staff. So we don't have any information. We have no closed session. And I was hoping to be the winner of the time. I'm not sure I am, but we're adjourned.
We have formal board in 5.